Well, that's what I want to work with a little bit tonight. Unspotted. That probably don't mean much to most of the people in the religious world today. If you believe that your life on this earth is nothing but a sinful existence, then having a few little spots is going to be pretty natural to it, isn't it? But I want to tell you, I think this is really important. We want to start, of course, in James. First chapter of James. It says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their afflictions, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. That is specifically charging us. This is not laid on your pastor to keep you unspotted. Not in this English way of saying it isn't. The pure religion and undefiled before God has duty to it. It's duty. We're to care for the widows and the orphans. That takes in a great the neediest of the needs. The idea is that if you're going to do that, then you're not going to be in a convent somewhere or a hen somewhere. You're going to be doing something. And if you're going to do something, you're going to have some risk involved in that. And if you're going to deal with people, let me tell you, if you're going to deal with people, you're going to risk something to do it. You're going to risk your feelings. You're going to risk being taken advantage of. You're going to have to risk something. So he says, keep yourself unspotted in doing it. Keep yourself unspotted, because there's going to be a real challenge. Life is real, and it has real events in it, and it has real hurts, and it has real problems, and it has all those things involved in it. So keep yourself unspotted from the world. You ever have a difficulty, maybe among family, because that's the way it's close, and you ever come out with a big fat attitude? Well, that's reality. I've done my best. We worked with it. Never intended it. Never thought that it would happen. But when I come out of it, well, why did they say that about me? And then after about a night of wallowing around with that, usually when something happens to me, it don't happen. And then I'll think about it a little bit, and then the devil will come and make sure I think about it a little more and a little more. And after wallowing it around for a while, I've got a big fat attitude about it. And this says, keep yourself unspotted from the world. You're going to have a blemish on you. Now, it may be a little abstract to you tonight, but we're not talking about really on your clothes or on your... You're talking about on your eternal soul. Now, and the world may suggest to you that it's okay, that it's covered. But the Scripture is telling us to keep ourselves... It'll be covered by the blood, brother. Yeah, absolutely. The blood can cover it, take care of it, it's got power. But it'll be because He eliminates it out of your life, not because you keep it. And just claim that it's not there. This is a powerful salvation that we can keep ourselves unspotted from the world. Several years ago, I was in Wisconsin, and Brother Norm, he lives over in Minnesota. He had a dairy barn. He still does, but he had an older one. Old dairy barn over there. And on our way leaving, we went over to visit Brother Norm, and then we was going to leave town. So went over there, and I was ready for traveling. I had all my traveling clothes on, was clean, and went over there and was talking to him, and he said, well, come and visit with me. I got milk. I said, okay, I'll go in. Well, go in, and I was in the dairy barn, and listen, dairy cows do what dairy cows do, okay? And they are prone to do it. Just, I think they're very systematic, ain't they, Brother Ivan? Well, anyway, I was there, and Brother Norm was just going through his thing, and I was standing back and kind of talking and watching and stepping back and out of the way, kind of getting every time I needed to, and it was there, and things was going on in there, but I thought that I had done well. I was in there for 45 minutes an hour. I mean, the whole time he was in there, he was talking and this, and I thought, I managed to miss all everything, and I thought I'd done well. But it was in the dairy barn, who knows? You know, all the way to West Virginia from northern Minnesota, I smelt like a dairy barn. I got spotted. I couldn't tell it until I got out into the fresh air. Got out to where it wasn't that, and it just every little bit going home, it was like, whew, that was a mistake. I want to tell you something about life and keeping ourselves unspotted from the world. You don't have to intend to get yourself spotted.
That's right.
You have to intend not to.
That's right.
You have to intend that I'm going to do what it takes for me to stay unspotted from the world. The world is trying to spot us. We're trying to give us the attitude just like the world has. The world has an attitude that its things are the most important. Christians don't have an attitude that things are the most important. If you do, let me warn you about being spotted. Things of this earth isn't the most important thing. Our things, the world says, our things. This thing's nice. That car's the thing. The house is the thing. That's the important things. And anybody that challenges that, if I'm challenged in any way, you're going to get me going. Wait a minute. That's not Christian. Yeah, we take care of our things, but that things is not it. We have something beyond that. There's something that we focus on beyond that. Wait a minute. The world is so unthankful. Isn't it? Listen, the world goes around like, you owe us, you owe us. You know, I've seen that attitude among the church. That everybody owes me. No. But focus on God first. Do you know there's times that God works in people's lives and somebody's wanting some saint to deliver him or take him out of there when it's God that's working?
That's right.
I've seen it happen.
Yes.
I had a deal at home one time where someone did that and they started blaming the whole congregation because they had needs. They had financial needs and they were blaming the congregation. Well, it was hard to take care of it, and so we were trying to do that and all this and never once was there the idea that maybe God's doing something. I know we have duties, but you know, we ought to focus first on what God's doing.
That's right.
Instead of finding fault with everybody. Church ain't what it ought to be. They ain't doing what it ought to be. Wait a minute. Maybe it's me that's not in that place. I need to keep myself unspotted from the world. That kind of thinking and unthankfulness is just rampant. Nobody's thankful. In the world, it's just so unthankful. Wait a minute. We ought to be thankful.
Yes.
We ought to be a thankful people.
Yes.
Not counting what we don't have.
Yes.
Counting what we do.
Yes.
Counting what God is doing for us. But if we're not careful, you know what we'll do? We'll start complaining as if there's some force out there other than God.
Years ago, I remember Brother Tony saying this, and it stuck with me. Who are you complaining at when you're complaining?
Yeah.
None of the rest of us run life.
What are you complaining about your circumstance? Who are you complaining at? God.
keeping yourself unspotted from the world. Because the world wants to spot us. The world, the devil is going to do it. It's out there to spot us with attitudes and thoughts and all these things until we hardly even know what we're really supposed to be thinking about. You get so spotted. I got some of that dairy. I couldn't even tell it. And I want to tell you something. If I did it every day, everyone would around me and would know it, but I wouldn't know it. Because I would become completely immune to the idea of it. I wouldn't even understand that I'm spotted. The duty's ours. Keep ourselves unspotted from the world. Have the right attitude about God, about God's people. As soon as we start not caring about people, and we start not caring about heaven, oh, we ought to care about heaven, folks. Is that attitude that I'm developing, is that a heavenly one? is that a heavenly attitude that I'm nourishing here? Is that attitudes towards people, is that beneficial to them? Or is it tearing them down? Am I got that view towards them, that thought towards them? Is that the right one to have? Is that thought process that I'm going through, is it to build myself up in this life? Is it to make more in this life for me? Or is it for heaven? We can become spotted. Like I said, I don't think the world cares much about it. I don't think religious world cares much about it. But if we're serious about serving the Lord, we ought to care about it. In Ephesians, you all probably be very familiar with this passage. Husbands, love your wives. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. I love those kind of passages because it sure takes the gainsaying out of it to me. I mean, it pretty well gives the idea of what Christ is determined to have his bride be like. That he would take care of it, and that it would be holy and pure, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, whatever the such thing can be. No such thing as that. No spot. No. Do you know what? Now, in here, Brother Ivan kind of stands. He's got a white shirt on, and if everybody in here that if I had a little, take this black marker over there. If I was just to go and put a little, Sister Maxine's white's really white too, and take that marker, that black one, and just go and put just right there, but like that. That thing would stick, wouldn't it? I mean, your eye would draw to it almost that, and it wouldn't have to be very big for that to be just a drawing. You got a spot. You got a spot. That's what it's like when somebody that's claiming the holiness of Christ that has something, and it might not look big to the world, but I'm going to tell you, it sure shows up at the background of Jesus. It just shows up as ugly and dark and out of place, and that shouldn't be there. That shouldn't be there in the name of Christ. That shouldn't be there. There's no unthankfulness. There's no unholiness. There's nothing like that there in him. That's unusual. That's out of place. That doesn't belong there in him. And it shines out like that. And I want to tell you, when the Lord has his bride, he's going to look, and that's not going to be acceptable. He's going to stand out. Lord, help us. It's our duty to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. And then we ought to be very careful to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. From the attitudes. Mainly put this way. It's the lust of the flesh.
Yes.
It's the lust of the eye. And it's the pride of life.
Yes.
Those three things basically make up what's known as the world.
That's right.
And that's what is going to blemish us. That lust of the flesh that drives for what it wants and what it's got to have to have. And those things, oh, and it's, I'm going to tell you, the smallest bit of it just looks so big with Jesus as the backdrop.
That's right.
It doesn't belong. The lust of the eye. Oh, that eye, that eye. That longing's what it's that's about. That eye that longs for something else. Longs for the more. Longs for the excitement. Longs for that. That longing. You know, there's things... Folks, listen. We're God made a beautiful world and He made a lot of beauty in it. And God made color. And God made things that's beautiful and right and upright. God did that. There's nothing wrong with setting beautiful things before us. We like to have beauty within our homes and beauty, beautiful things and cleanliness and all those things that we say is beautiful. That's natural and right to have. But you know, there's a lust of the eye that longs for something that's abnormal. That is something beyond that. Pride of life. I just have to end up being a little better than you. Right? Did you? How would it, if it was never a you involved, what would pride be? Just me feeling about myself? No, there's always a comparison about who I am, and it must be better than you. Lord, help us. If we're not careful, we'll be spotted by the way we feel about other people that we feel like are less than we are. And I'm going to tell you, if it wasn't for Jesus, there's none of us got to boast about anything. None of us got any of it. And as we look out into the world, Lord, help us to have the right kind of... I know there's things that's the evil and disgusting. I know there's things out there like it. But when it comes to the person, we ought to be very careful about the attitude that we would hold. Because if we're not careful, we're going to be spotted by that. And somehow we're going to feel like that we're in a different place than what we really are. I want to look at another scripture. Oh, I might just talk about this as much as reading it, but you can get it in Genesis 13. Do you remember Lot and Lot's herdsmen and Abraham's herdsmen and his flocks, they kind of got tangled up. And it looked like there was going to be quite a contention over it. So Abraham comes and says, we're brethren. Let there not be contention between us. Let's not fight over this. And to show that there was nothing, my mind, to show that it was completely on the up and up, he said to Lot, you go one direction and you pick. And I'll go the other. And so Lot made his pick. But Lot didn't make a very wise pick. There was so much problem come out of that pick. Keeping yourself unspotted from the world is not always just being able to fight the battle once you get yourself in it. God can help us. But most temptation's environmental. It's just true. You put yourself into the place to get spotted. I'll be honest with you. The best place not to smell like end up smelling like a dairy barn is staying outside one. That's the best way of doing it. I don't know, there may be other things to put it on it, but it'll be hard. It'll be real hard. The best way is just not get that to start with. I had another interesting experience. I went over to a viewing. Linda didn't go with me. I just went by myself. It was a family member of my first wife's, and And I went to that, and one of my first wife's sisters saw me there, and she came up and hugged him, and she gave me a hug, and she had some of the strongest smelling perfume on. And I smelled it pretty strong right then. I said, Betsy, who is that? You're smelly. Well, we talked a little bit, and I never paid much attention to it. I went back and got in my truck and started home, and I was like, and I started to laugh, and I thought, this is going to be something to tell Linda when I get home with this. There's ways to stay out of those places. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying with that. I'm just saying the temptation, getting spotted, is when we put ourselves in those positions. So anyway, in the story here, Lot chose the well-watered plains of Jordan. But the scripture says particularly, you can read it here, he says particularly that he dwelt in the cities of the plains. He done it on purpose. He done it from the start. The spotting was huge, folks. The spot was huge. Don't think that you're going to just spot your life if you're in a place of position or a position of authority. You're going to spot everybody under you. You're going to spot, you're going to affect everybody that's in your realms. You're going to do it. Lot's daughters were spotted. And you can read about it, and you can see that they were spotted. The son-in-laws were spotted. The wife was spotted. They all, because of that particular choice, were spotted. They all was touched by that evil place that he was willing to accept and go into. He may have never intended. I don't think that he did. The scriptures say that it vexed his righteous soul. It troubled him. But you remember when the angels come, he couldn't see these just men, this plight thing happen. You remember how he offered his daughter? This was an awful black mark. This was a terrible thing that he allowed himself to get to. He was spotted too. By God's mercy and mercy to Abraham, the scripture says, he spared them and got them out of there. But all that wife had it deep, didn't she? She had it down in her. Something was touching in there. Something was doing it. Maybe she wasn't that kind of a person. After the long haul, after much of it, it got to be natural. It got to be normal. It got to be fascinating. It got to be a part of life. It will be for us too. Folks, listen. He's talking about our souls. Not something you can see on the outside necessarily. An attitude that we hold through all of life. Why are they that way? They've been spotted, that's why. They didn't take care of the hurt that they had in their life and they held on to it and it made a callus there, and now they're always a little bit that way. Never really overcoming that. Lord help us. They was out on their way out, but you remember they told him not to look back, you remember? And the scripture in the New Testament even says, as a monument to say, remember Lot's wife. What does it bring back to our memory? A man that made a choice is what I go back to every time. Remember the wife, but who got her there? I didn't say anything about her making a choice at that time, did it? Didn't even say ask her. But he took this precious soulmate and ended up seeing her as a pillar of salt because of a bad decision to go down into a place that touched their lives. Yes. You know, we live in a wonderful technological age of information, if you want to call it that. But we live in one of the most dangerous times mess with your eternal soul and set things that can't be erased just by a moment. You know that there is a lot of bad stuff, don't you? Do you know that I'm going to warn you tonight that that's more than a spot. Well, it starts out as a spot. It's a big spot. But you may go delete the computer. But there's something that can't delete. And even if you can get it far from your memory, you can't delete what the effects of that thing will be. It's a spot. It's a wrinkle. It's something that God is going to have to look down on. I want to tell you, God can still, the blood of Jesus can still clean that spot.
Yes.
But it'll take the blood of Jesus.
Sure will.
And many times, I'm going to tell you, the wrestle becomes not that Jesus can't do it, folks. The wrestle becomes, I don't want Him to. I want to look back. I keep wanting to look back. Because there's a fascination, or there's a habit. There's something strong that's pulling. I suggest stay away from it.
Yes.
Stay away from it. Put your borders up. Put your guard. Do whatever you have to do. But don't allow yourself to go down that line.
Amen.
Keep yourself unspotted.
You
say, well, I have to. Listen, you see, you may say, I have to do this stuff on this. Then I'll say, do it. Do you know that the Bible says for us to do it? I'm saying it says to take care of the widows, take care of the orphans, do the work of God, pray for those that need it, go to the jails, do whatever you have to do, but make sure you keep yourself unspotted from the world. If you got to go on the internet, do it. By the grace of God, you better find the grace of God. If you have to pray every time before you get on there, you better do it.
Yes.
And keep yourself unspotted from the world.
Yes.
There was another situation. I think it's in 2 Kings 5. Again, I'm just going to say, you remember the story. It's about the story of Naaman who had leprosy. You remember? He goes to Elisha. He goes to Elisha after some doings with the king and all that. He goes to Elisha with a great idea that Elisha is going to come out, and there's going to be great fanfare. There's going to be a great movement, some of that. And he comes to do it, and Elisha just sends the messenger out there and says, "Go tell him to dip himself in the Jordan 7 times, and he'll be clean of this leprosy." Well, he gets kind of angry and is leaving off, and they convince him, no, if it had been a great thing, you'd have done it. Just do what the man said, and he done it, and the Lord touched him. Healed him. He was spotted. Folks, he was spotted. For whatever, he was spotted, and God cleaned him up. And his flesh was like a baby's. And he come back with saying, worshiping other gods is done. I'm done with the other gods. There's no other god but the Lord of Elisha, and that's who we'll worship. And he come to Elijah and said, I got the garments, and I got all this stuff I brought for a gift for the man of God. And you know what the man of God said? Take it with you. Why do you suppose that was such a theme in the scriptures with these people? I mean, come on, a gift. You can't sell God's stuff, folks. The world tries to do this over and over, make merchandise of God's stuff. It's wrong to do it. Freely I've given. Freely give. You've got it free. You can't make merchandise. Not in God be pleased with it. God, he can't sell that. You can't sell it. Simon tried the same thing with Peter, remember? Tried to buy the Holy Ghost. Hey, how much will that buy? Boy, I would have something going on if I could be able to lay hands on somebody. Dude, I can make a lot of money. No, you won't either. You can't buy the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
It's not for sale. Keep yourself unspotted in God's things. Oh, to honor God.
Yes, amen.
So Naaman leaves. And Gehazi, Elisha's prophet, Life's real. And there's few opportunities in life like Gehazi had. That here, this guy's leaving with all this stuff, and I'm in a situation that he knows I'm the servant because I just was there. And he chased after him. Because he had a spot in his heart to gain something that he should have left alone. And you remember, he chases after him. He tells his story, and they leave it off. And he hides and said he got the talents and he got the stuff. And he goes back, and when he gets back, Elisha says, "Where you been? I ain't been anywhere. Just doing what I do. Just only then." He said, "Did my heart not turn with thee?" These prophets it's hard to deal with these prophets because the Lord's always got a little bird to go tell them. Now he whispered in his ear and told him, your prophets or your servants chasing after for the loot. You know what happened to him? Naaman's leprosy came on him. He was spotted. With a life-threatening spotting. I don't think that's by accident in the Scriptures. I think that is supposed to go and mean something to us. I think it means that there's results of our actions. I think that it means that we never know what they are. I don't think that we're smart enough individually or collectively to know what the results of everything we do is going to be. But there's going to be results. And everything we chase after, everything we do, every moment that we give to the flesh, everything that we do has a potential of spotting our lives. Some people are different than others. Some want that one thing. But I'm going to tell you, life will bring things to you that will leave you spotted if you're not willing to take care of it with all your heart. I've told this many times. It was a challenge. It was one of my greatest challenges. I had a guy pull a gun on me. He had it to my head with his knuckles white and his teeth gritting. He, instead of pulling the trigger, he pulls back and jams me in the head with it, knocked me over my seat. He tries to pound on me with his fist. He's doing all these things, threatening to kill me, threatening to drag me out, kick me to death. All this stuff of violation. That's the way I felt. I felt it was violating. I'll say to God's glory, he didn't have anything in his possession that he could hurt me with. He just couldn't hurt me. I mean, not only could he not hurt me, he couldn't cause me no pain. I didn't feel no pain. He couldn't hurt me. The guy couldn't hurt me. He tried to drag me out of my vehicle, and I just sat there, and he couldn't do it. And he was straining and a pulling and a jerking, and I just sat there, and he couldn't do it. God protected me in that, but I want to tell you something. I had to deal with that after that episode. Do you know that I still occasionally deal with that? I do. It comes back to me. Sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night and sometimes it'll come. Who you think's responsible for those kind of things? Well, I know who he is, but I want to tell you, I could have been spotted. I could have been spotted by that and carried that and carried that. But by God's grace, I did not allow it to spot me. By God's grace, He helped me not to let that spot me. I see the potential of my soul being lost because somebody was violating me. He also violates me on this earth, and then also I lose my soul. That's the greatest violation. There wasn't a command for everybody to watch after my soul. You all didn't pray through me through the night to get the victory. It was plainly put on my shoulders. Marty, keep yourself unspotted from the world. Keep your heart right before God. That's my responsibility. Things will happen. Hey, they're still going to happen. You're going to go through those kind of hard places. Keep yourself unspotted from the world. Over in 2 Corinthians, I heard on the news a while back, may have been weeks now, I'm not sure. It was talking about the Vice President Pence. And they made a comment that he testified that in all the years of his marriage, he never ate alone with a woman that wasn't his wife. He made that comment. I said, I've heard the saints teach that stuff. I didn't know the vice president had that kind. He had that kind of conviction. He would not eat alone with a woman that wasn't his wife. If he had to be with her, he would take his wife with him or another. But he would not be able to find himself alone in that kind of situation. You know, he got a lot of criticism for that. I said, that's the world we live in. That would criticize a man that loved his wife enough to say, I'm not going to risk a rift in my marriage. No matter what it looks like. You know in the world that he was in, that would have had to have been, what's wrong with him? But he wouldn't do it anyway. I actually honor him. I'm glad that there's people like that, and I think that's very... If loving his wife, that's a good way to keep it going. And they say, got a wonderful marriage for 40 years. Well, I imagine he does. If he cares that much for it. You have a wonderful marriage with the Lord. If you love it that much. If you care for it that much... to make sure that there isn't any loss of affections to something that would be a challenge to the Lord. But if you did, if you held that, then it would be a wonderful relationship. The Lord's going to be faithful. Are we going to be faithful? Keep yourself unspotted from the world. Don't allow the world to take that affections away. Don't allow those things that the world wants to promote in us. Oh, they get challenged. The world's so challenged by true Christianity. They ain't challenged much by false Christianity, but they're challenged by true Christianity. In 2 Corinthians, 7th chapter, 9th verse, now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but you sorrowed to repentance. For you were made sorry after a godly manner, that you might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of this world worketh death. You know, sometimes, folks, we just got to humble ourselves. If we're going to be successful, you're going to have to humble yourself and keep yourself unspotted. I tell this story a lot, but it was another one of my experiences in the Lord. I've had a lot of them. My boss bid a job one time. He was in surveying. He bids this job. And he told me, this was my job. He said, gave me the job. This is your job. But I want to tell you, this job, he said, I bid it too close. There isn't any room for mistakes, or it's that tight. No, we're not going to make no money off of this. We don't want to lose any. This is a tight job. So gives it to me. Well, we're out on the job one day. Things did not go well. So the next morning, we're in the office, and we kind of give a little updates on the jobs and all that, and we're standing there, and the other man that was with me on the job the day before, everybody's standing around there, and he comes and opens up the map of the job that we was done, and usually we tried to get at least 5,000, 6,000 foot of footage a day running line. And we get there, and he looks down at that and says, "What's this?" And you know, I don't know. I started to say I was blessed with it, but maybe it ain't a blessing. But I had ways sometimes of just saying stuff. And boy, I started telling, saying things, and boy, it just, I was even surprised. It just rolled out real flowery. Just rolled, man, I said it so well. And left him kind of scratching his head, like, I'm not totally sure what he said type thing. And I kind of turned around after I, you know, made my excuse for that. And I walked just a few feet, and the Lord spoke to my heart.
Yes.
You're going to leave that like that? All the men I work with right there. I turned around and come over and said, I'm sorry. The truth is, we goofed off yesterday and did not perform our duties. And I'm sorry. It's on me. We didn't do it. You know, I don't know. I'm little anyway. I know it was a big fella. But I felt so small like looking. It was so humiliating to do that. But I kept thinking, what am I going to feel like going home if I don't? It gets harder by the moment. It gets awful. My soul's at stake. I relived that over and over and was so grateful that God dealt with me and I took care of that spot that was getting bigger by the moment. And I humbled myself and took care of that spot by God's grace and cleaned it up. And the thing about it was the men knew anyway. I didn't lose anything in boss's favor over that. He actually appreciated the honesty of it. But I want to tell you, folks, you keep yourself unspotted. You recognize whether that was worthy for eternity or not. You say to yourself, is that going to pass God's judgment, what I just done? Keep yourself unspotted. Because it's going to show up big one of these days. For behold, this selfsame thing that you saw it after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you. What carefulness there was to make sure I took care of that issue. I took care of that spot. What carefulness. What self-say. What this is talking about is that something happened to you. And now you're careful. You're cautious. You're going to make sure. Let me encourage you tonight. If you got anything that needs to be took care of, take care of it. Get rid of the spot. Oh, he said it's hard. I know it's hard. I know it can be hard. But God's got the grace to do it, and it's your responsibility to do it.
Yes.
It is. What carefulness it wrought in you. Yea, what clearing of yourselves.
Yes.
Yea, what indignation. Yea, what fear. Yea, what vehement desire. What zeal. Yea, what revenge. Now this isn't revenge on people. You know what this is talking about? Revenge. I revenge that lie I was telling. That temptation to lie. Now I want to say technically, I did not technically say a lie when I told my boss that. I did not technically say a lie. I did not go over that. I was very careful about those kind of things. I just said something that was very blurred. That was not going to pass the judgment bar of God.
Yes.
So you call it whatever you want. Hey, that's the way we justify ourselves.
Yes.
That's the way we do it. What revenge?
Yes.
I revenged it.
Yes.
revenge the disobedience. I revenge the flesh on it. I revenge the things that was against God. That's what it's talking about.
Right.
We like to think about taking revenge on somebody else that done me wrong. No! I revenge this man in here that wants to do otherwise. Oh, what revenge. In all things ye have approved yourselves to be clear in the matter. You have proven that you're spotless. That if there's anything, folks, listen, if there's any place in your life, in your experience, in your dealings with others or before the Lord, it's a good time to clean the spot up. There is no agent better at getting spots out than the blood of Jesus. They'll get them out. You pray for me.